Today in the Chokeslam Wrestling Report Behind the Curtain series, we are going to be talking about Velveteen Dream return back to wrestling this past weekend. We're going to be talking about that. Also, why is Cody Rhodes taking pinfalls before WrestleMania? What is the purpose of this and whatnot when they haven't even explained why he gave up the title shot to The Rock? Also, we're going to be talking about Steve Maclin. His contract is coming to an end very soon with TNA. What are they planning to do? We're going to be talking about that and much more on the Chokeslam Wrestling Report Behind the Curtain series. Let's get this.
Is the moment we've all been waiting for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to another episode of the Chokeslam Wrestling Report. I am your host, the infamous Ultimate One, with another Behind the Curtain episode. And we're going to be talking about Velveteen Dream. Now, Velveteen Dream disappeared from wrestling back in 2021, if I'm correct, somewhere in December when he got let go by WWE. You already know the history or what happened with him and why he was outcast out of professional wrestling and whatnot. And because of the allegations of him sending explicit picture of himself to minors on Instagram. Now, every time I bring this up, people right away will go and make it look like, okay, you know, he did this, he did that, but let's be realistic. He was never, charged. He was never found guilty. First of all, again, never found guilty. And that was the reason for him not being found guilty was because WWE never bothered to do a proper investigation. Okay. First of all, if an adult is getting allegedly accused of sending explicit pictures to a minor, you will make an investigation, bring in the victim, and ask questions. Triple H, I remember going online and say, oh, we didn't find anything. There was no proof. WWE never, and I repeat, never bother to, get in contact with these witnesses and victims. Instead, they did their whatever investigation they claimed they did. And he was set free, if you could say it that way. He was still with NXT for a while, but there was more stuff coming in. And WWE finally figured, well, we're going to clean our hands out of this and we're going to let him go. He left. He was let go. He got caught in Florida a couple of times with some traffic violations or some traffic accident or whatever it was. He got arrested a couple of times in Florida, in Orlando, and he wasn't heard from. Sometime, I believe, was either December or January, he came out with a freaking video apologizing. My question, first of all, was, what were you apologizing for? Because if you're apologizing to Triple H, you're apologizing to Shawn Michaels, you're apologizing to all this, what did you do? Say what you did that you're apologizing for. He never really got to the root of the matter of why was he apologizing. And before that, he even did that apology. EC3 came out stating that there was a party where he was in there, and the EC3 was in the restroom, whatever, and he was videotaping EC3, and he was trying to give EC3 a concussion, not concussion, whatever they call it. It's some kind of mix in a drink, whatever. I probably said it wrong. But anyway, there's a concoction, whatever it is called. And EC3 put him out there on the spot. And again, I said to myself, this guy should not ever wrestle again. But what happens then, I think either Chris Van Fleet or Sean Ross Sapp, I believe it's Chris Van Fleet, had an interview with him, I think last month or somewhere a couple of weeks ago. All of a sudden, I'm saying to myself, please God, don't let this man come back. Now, you're saying, why am I saying that? First of all, number one, I got kids, okay? And when I see stuff like this, you know, that shit bothers me. It bothers me like crazy as a parent, okay? When a wrestler, as talented as he was, because he had it going on, that guy was had the talent, the character, the confidence in that ring, he was good. But according to other wrestlers, he was very cocky in the back, okay? He rubbed the people in the back, he rubbed them the wrong way. Now, here we are this past weekend, and I'm on Twitter, and what do I see? Promotion upstate New York, in my state, I believe it's called Dynasty Pro Wrestling, or Pro Wrestling Dynasty, decided to bring in Velveteen Dream. He didn't wrestle, but he made an appearance. Now, my thing is, the hell is Dynasty is doing and whatnot? And, you know, I said to myself, these guys are doing this for clout, you know, I said to myself, you know what? This is nonsense. This is really nonsense. So Pro Wrestling Dynasty or Dynasty Pro Wrestling, whatever they call it, you needed to bring in a guy who already has a black cloud over his head. And y'all talk about giving second chances. Well, if you want to give second chances, why don't you call Joey Ryan? Joey Ryan tried to get back into wrestling and whatnot. He got caught. His bar wrestling was closed down. And then he tried to come back by putting some charity work for women wrestling and had the balls and the audacity to pull his picture in the poster, and they canceled that shit. Alberto Del Rio is another one. Alberto Del Rio has been accused of being abusive to women and whatnot. Whether he was charged or not, the guy has that black cloud over his head. And who brought him in back into wrestling? Conan. I mean, it figures will be Conan because Conan's an asshole. And Conan loves taking shots at AEW, but now he's over here worrying about why is AEW working out with CMML. Because you continuously talking crap. You and the disco jerk decides to, you know, talk shit about AEW. Right? So here we are. So, and what about Marty Scurll? Marty Scurll right now, he went to Mexico and he was in Puerto Rico. So if, you know, Pro Wrestling Dynasty is in this thing about giving second chances to wrestlers, well, so why don't you bring those guys in? See how that's going to work for you. Okay. There was a speak out movement a couple of years ago. Okay. And unfortunately, Mr. Velveteen Dream got caught up with that and whatnot. And actually, I think it was after that or before that, he got caught. Okay. And I don't want to hear people talking about, oh, he was not found guilty and this and this and that. This is the same people who say he's not found guilty. It's the same people who right now are saying the same thing about Vince McMahon. Same thing. The same thing, which is very sad. You know what I'm saying? So the crazy part is that I myself, you know, I say to myself, well, you know what? This is crazy because this is what wrestling has become. This is what wrestling has become. That you actually go because you need people in your building. These independent shows. You know what I'm saying? You need people in the building and you will bring anybody to get clout. To get clout. But that's exactly what you guys are doing. Okay. I never seen Pro Wrestling Dynasty or Dynasty Pro Wrestling, whatever the name is, but there is word that he's wrestling next month. Okay. And, you know, it's sad when you got these promoters in the indie scene that, you know, are willing to do anything to have people come in and, you know, watch the shows, and they'll bring in anybody just to get clout. And Velveteen Dream should not, and I repeat, should not become back to wrestling at all. Okay. And I don't want to hear second chances. Okay. I don't want to hear second chances because that guy has a black cloud over him. I mean, even like I said, EC3 said he was trying to drug him. He was trying to drug him. So what makes you think somebody's going to change in 2 years? Okay. Somebody that does stuff like that. This was accused of sending explicit photo to minors. Okay. And WWE didn't, and I'm gonna repeat it again, WWE didn't interview the witnesses or the victims of this accusation. They didn't bother. Just the same way, look at it, the way I look at it, I think they covered it. I mean, I won't put it past them. I mean, WWE is already in freaking hot water, you know, with the Vince McMahon situation. Paul Roma just came out with some crazy stuff of what used to happen in the 80s and how people were in the back into stuff like that, and with men in underwears and stuff like that. So I won't put it past WWE that they didn't really investigate like they were supposed to. You know what I'm saying? They weren't. I mean, look, this is why I say karma is a bitch. I always say karma is a bitch because at the end of the day, if you think about it, they are getting now the brunt of all this bullcrap going on with Vince McMahon and his lawsuit. You got John Laurinaitis turning on McMahon. And I'm going to say this again. Everybody's like, oh, Triple H is this. Triple H will be called. And I'm telling you this right now. He is going to get subpoenaed for this. If you think he's not, you got something else coming. You're in denial because it's going to happen. Okay? It's going to happen. And that's why Triple H was the one who said that nothing, there was no proof. They didn't investigate the shit correctly. You just don't say, oh, we investigate. Who you investigate? If you didn't even bother to call the victims. You didn't have an interview with the victims. So how you did an investigation? It's all bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It's all bullshit. The wrestling scene right now with these guys like the Marty Scurll, and I used to love Marty Scurll. You know what I'm saying? I used to love him. I got shirts, the villain, everything. I used to love Marty Scurll. But after that, what he did, Alberto Del Rio, I already knew he had this a-hole look when he was in WWE. He looked like a wife beater. You know what I'm saying? And he's being brought back by Conan. You know what I'm saying? All these people are going to get exposed. You know what I'm saying? They will get exposed sooner or later. But Velveteen Dream, I guarantee you, they're going to give him another chance, and there's going to be some other bullshit that's going to come out because this man had issues. He had issues when he was in NXT with other wrestlers and whatnot. And, you know, and now he's going to have more issues. More issues. So and it's funny because the promoter blocked. He didn't allow everybody to comment on the video he put up on Twitter because he knew he was going to get a heat wave of fucking, you know what? A lot of people are going to get mad about this. But see, this is a coward. Promoters does shit like this and then they don't want nobody saying anything in Twitter. That's the cowardly way. You're all about making money. You don't care who you bring in. So you want to grab these wrestling fans who think that he's not guilty, come into wrestling and they have no idea what happened, or the casual fan don't have an idea what Velveteen Dream did and why he's not wrestling no more. I could see it happening. So that is my opinion of that, and I'm gonna stand by it. I don't care who don't like it. Velveteen Dream should not be back in wrestling at all. We'll be right back with more Chokeslam Wrestling Report Behind the Curtain. This is the infamous Ultimate One from the Boogie Down Bronx, and you're listening to the Chokeslam Wrestling Report. And we're back. Let's talk about this, what happened this past Monday night. This past Monday night, we saw Cody get pinned in a match with Drew McIntyre. Now, a lot of people are saying that, you know, it's no big deal. Him losing a match to the hottest guy in the wrestling business, and which is, which is Drew McIntyre. But my thing is, number one, WWE has still not explained, you know, why Cody Rhodes and whatnot was willing to give up the title shot with The Rock and whatnot. And to this day, they still have not, explain that. The crazy thing is, they did the same thing with the Brock Lesnar situation. It was the night after WrestleMania when Brock Lesnar attacked Cody Rhodes, and they wrestled for months, and they never, ever bothered to explain why Brock Lesnar attacked, Cody Rhodes. And at the end of the day after that, Cody Rhodes beat Brock Lesnar, I believe was SummerSlam. I could be wrong. But anyway, and Brock Lesnar was gone. He's not coming back ever again. And then Cody, as of late, has been made to look like a fool. Okay. And many people could say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. This is part of the storyline and whatnot. With Jey Uso and Solo Sikoa showing up at Monday Night Raw and costing Cody his match with Drew McIntyre, then we better see Cody show up at SmackDown this Friday and cost one of the Bloodline members their match. Because I don't understand how all of a sudden now we're looking now, the Bloodline again are back in Raw. We saw when Jimmy cost Jay the Intercontinental title when he rang the bell. So is this going to be the thing now when you're going to see now the Bloodline going on Raw and being SmackDown? But I don't understand, why would you go and get Cody pinned 2 months before the WrestleMania, the guy who won the Royal Rumble, which makes no freaking sense at all. Now, I understand you're trying to push Drew McIntyre because I see where they're going with this. Okay. Drew McIntyre. Okay. He won the world title back in 2020 when the COVID was around at WrestleMania of that year, which they should have never made it, when nobody, with no crowd. Now, I understand that they're trying to, make that situation, pay him back for him, winning the title. He had no crowds, and they might give him the Elimination Chamber, which I see him winning it. And then give him another chance at Seth Rollins and whatnot. Now, we still got to remember that Damian Priest still holds that briefcase. So he may cash it in at WrestleMania. But I understand what they're doing with Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre right now, he is hot right now. His social media stuff he does is great. But under the expense of Cody Rhodes, you could have had him pin somebody else that's going to be part of the you know, of the Elimination Chamber. You know what I'm saying? Instead of you having him pin Cody for outside interference. Okay, so it's outside interference. You're like, oh, well, he didn't get pinned cleanly. He still got pinned. He shouldn't be getting pinned in the WrestleMania. And I hear podcasters talking about, oh, if you're mad about that and you're being a crybaby, a Cody crybaby. I am not a Cody crybaby, number one. Okay, it's just logic. Common sense, which to me doesn't make no sense of Cody getting pinned 2 months before WrestleMania where he's going to go against Roman Reigns for the world title. Okay, first of all, they're already making him look like a fool, like I said earlier. With him not, you know, not going to The Rock and The Rock coming and he's giving up his title shot to The Rock. Then a couple of days later, he comes back and you know, says, no, I want the match back. He gets bitch slapped by The Rock. Okay. And then the funny thing that nothing is mentioned about him getting bitch slapped by The Rock last Monday. Okay. And it's and then they put him in a bull roll match against Nakamura. Why is he wrestling Nakamura already? Didn't he beat Nakamura already? Now they put him in a bull roll match or whatever the hell it was. It just doesn't make sense. Who is writing this shit? Let's put it that way. Who is? I want to know. Because it's not making sense. It's not making no sense at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't get it. I don't get it. It's like this WrestleMania, there's a lot of what we call confusion. Because even in the women's match, even though we're going to have Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax at the Elimination Chamber, I think they're having that. Most likely, Rhea Ripley's going to win there. She's not losing to Nia Jax in her hometown. That's not happening. But most likely, out of the women's Elimination Chamber, is going to be Becky Lynch. It's going to be Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. And again, and I'm going to say this, Rhea Ripley should not lose to Becky Lynch at all. Becky Lynch should not be having walking around with that belt. Let Rhea Ripley beat her and whatnot, and then have Becky Lynch be so frustrated that she turns heel again. Becky Lynch is a better heel than she is a babyface. You know what I'm saying? But you got a lot of babyfaces in there. You need heels. You don't have a lot of heels in Monday Night Raw for a woman. You know what I'm saying? So it makes sense to have it that way. But there's been a lot of confusion. They got everybody, you know, wondering and whatnot. So, I mean, it's crazy when you got WWE right now. And I saw a clip where Michael Chandler is calling out Conor McGregor on a WWE Raw, Monday Night Raw. And yeah, you're going to say, oh, but TKO owns WWE, the UFC, you know, cross promotion. For what? For what? So now you're going to have Michael Chandler, possibility, and Conor McGregor show up at WrestleMania to confront each other. You're taking a spot away from two wrestlers to put UFC fighters in this situation. Okay? It doesn't make no sense. So it's a lot of things going on in WWE that's not making sense. Okay. Usually you figure it out, be like, okay, you know, we're going to have this, we're going to have that. It's like the same thing. There was word that Bron Breakker was probably going to be the one challenging Gunther, but that's not happening because he signed with SmackDown. Now there's word that probably Sheamus may come back and get that shot. Sheamus should have won the damn Intercontinental belt a long time ago. That's the only title that has evaded him for the last 20-something years he's been in WWE. Something like that. He's been there for a long time. But him and Gunther, another match will be classic in WrestleMania. That would be beautiful. But going back to Cody, my question is, why is he taking pinfalls? You know what I'm saying? What is the purpose of that? Because I'm telling you, they haven't... A couple of things that he's been doing that there hasn't been no explanation. Why is it being done? And like I said, I'm going to say it like this. Come SmackDown this Friday, he better show up and get his revenge. Either, you know, rock the Rock, you know, punch him or something, or get even with, because he's getting, first he gets bitch slapped by the Rock, then he gets fucking spiking his throat by Solo Sikoa. It's one thing after the other. And he's not, and I understand you're trying to make him this baby face. You want people to feel pity for, but you're making him look weak and like he's a dumbass. You know what I'm saying? It makes no sense. It makes no sense. So, you know, it's crazy. You guys want to let me know what you feel about it. Again, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook and let me know what you guys think. But honestly, or Twitter also, honestly, I don't know what they're doing. I really don't know what they're doing. It's like, it makes you scratch your head and you be like, yo, what the hell? Like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes no sense. So we'll see what happens coming up in the next few weeks. We'll see Friday. I'm going to be looking at Friday. Cody Rhodes better show up and get even with the Bloodline. I don't want to hear nothing else because it's going to be stupid. So we'll be right back with more Chokeslam Wrestling Report Behind the Curtain series.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy, Jada Red Sante, host of Turnbuckle Tabloid, and you're listening to the Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
And we're back with more. Let's talk about Steve Maclin. Now, Steve Maclin, his contract is coming up very soon. And that is not good news for TNA. TNA right now is facing an uphill battle, if you think about it. And I don't know if I mentioned it to you guys a couple of weeks ago or last week, where TNA roster had a meeting with Tommy Dreamer and Gail Kim, and they said it was a wild meeting. People were pissed off. People who are loyal to Scott D'Amore, and you already know the story with Scott D'Amore. He was let go because he was asking for more money and whatnot, to help production. I mean, the guy was, let's say, he was trying to bring TNA back. Okay, he brought people that haven't been in TNA in years. And I'm talking about, you know, Okada. Okada showed up at TNA. And this guy hasn't been in TNA since 2008 when they used him as an excursion and they treated him bad. This is when Dixie Carter was in charge. But, you know, Scott D'Amore was building bridges, man. He was building bridges. He built the bridge that led to WWE. You know what I'm saying? Twice in two occasions that led to his woman's champion, Mickie James, and what's the other girl? I forgot her name. Anyway, the two, they ended up going to the Royal Rumble. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's crazy. Man was doing everything that a promoter does and whatnot. And the crazy part is, you know, Anthem just decided, well, we're gonna have to fire him because he wants to do this, he wants to do that. And Ed Norton, another guy who was part of TNA, they was bringing in the talent, he left. I mentioned that this weekend and whatnot. So it's just crazy when you have two guys who was building TNA or Impact at that time to the place they were at. You know, with the TV that they have, Access Channel, not a lot of people have it. And they were still trying to rebuild, trying to do something creative. And Anthem went and fired them. So now my question is, now you got all these stars who are loyal to Scott D'Amore. There was Twitters, like it was like a tower. There was they went I think it was Sunday. All these with Josh Alexander, Tommy Dreamer, Chris Bay, you know, all these people were at one time putting hourglass. The hourglass stating the time is coming and we're gonna leave. Josh Alexander right now, his contract got picked up. His option for one more year got picked up by Anthem and whatnot. Now that honestly, and I feel that Scott D'Amore kind of dropped the ball with Josh Alexander. That guy should have been world champion and should have had a long reign, but he got hurt, which is, you know, should have given him the title instead of him losing to, you know, so the guy from the Motor City Machine Gun. Right now, my head right now, I don't remember half of these wrestlers right now. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, instead of Moose getting the title again, which I mean, it's not bad because Moose is he's a very good worker as a heel, but these are guys, they were loyal to Scott D'Amore. Okay. And the crazy part is that, you know, Scott D'Amore, you know, he's been around TNA forever. That's his baby. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's his baby. If you think about it, look, he has Jordynne Grace, who's been with TNA forever. And that's the other female that went this year to the Royal Rumble. And Jordynne Grace, multiple time women's champion, has been loyal to TNA. She could have went to WWE, could have went to AEW, could have went anywhere, but she stood there. Moose is loyal to, was loyal to Scott D'Amore. He said it at the, in a Chris Van Fleet interview when he said that he looked at Scott D'Amore as a mentor, as a little brother or big brother, and that's why he wanted to stay with TNA Wrestling. It was not about the money, because he has money from his football days. So just see, people like that, they are loyal. They were loyal. They were a family. They send a letter to the higher-ups in Anthem. Now, the question is, are they listening? Are they going to bring back Scott D'Amore? Highly doubt it. Highly doubt it. But they played it safe by picking the option of Josh Alexander for another year. But now you got Steve Maclin contract coming up and whatnot. And Steve Maclin, if he sees that things are not doing well, guess where you think he's going? He's going to follow where his wife is at. And I'm talking about the virtuosa, Deonna Purrazzo. He'll end up at AEW. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where he'll fit in AEW, but he'll be right in there. You know what I'm saying? And right now, it's not looking good for TNA Wrestling at all. And I've been saying this for the last 3 weeks since Scott D'Amore got fired. Scott D'Amore getting fired was, I still remember where I was at when I saw this. I'm like, am I bugging out when I'm reading? Because Scott D'Amore? And you bring Anthony Cinquone, whatever his name is, because he got 16-year experience with, TNA. But just because you worked there for 16 years does not mean it's going to make you the guy that, you know, things that Scott D'Amore knew. You could work anywhere for 16 years and don't mean that you're good at something. You're probably lucky that you got a job. Let's be realistic. You know what I'm saying? But with that being said, you know, I felt that it was a bad move. It was a bad move. And, you know, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. So I don't know what they're going to plan to do and whatnot. But I know that they were, Scott D'Amore had plans to bring TNA to the Hammerstein Ballroom here in New York City. And now they're not doing it and whatnot because supposedly I think either No Surrender or the next February, they're going to Vegas again. So, you know, it's funny. I've been saying about Anthem for years since they took over in 2019. 2019, I remember saying Anthem is cheap. They don't like paying their wrestlers. They don't like doing it. And people were like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You just hating. You doing this. You doing that. I was doing all the most. They're saying I was doing the most. I was doing the most and whatnot. But this is a prime example. You know what I'm saying? You went and you played it smart and you went and because Moses Moose signed a big contract with TNA. He ain't going nowhere. But you know Steve Macklin right now, you lose him, who's gonna replace him? That guy is, ever since he left the WWE, when he was part of the Forgotten Son, he's been incredible. When I saw him first time in TNA a couple of years ago, I said, wow, this guy is no joke. And he is good as a heel. He won the Impact World title at one point. And I mean, he's great. He's great at what he does. And when WWE didn't know how to capitalize him, had him in a stupid tag team or three-way with the other guy. And but that was during the damn McMahon era. But, you know, this guy, he's talented. And they're about to lose him if they do not do what they're supposed to do. I mean, does he really want to stay there when you know that, you know, Scott D'Amore is not there? You don't know. It's the uncertainty of who's going to be running it. And yeah, you could say, oh, but Tommy Dreamer is there, you know, Delirious, all these. Yeah, they all could be there, but that doesn't mean that storylines are going to be great. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Delirious worked with Ring of Honor for many years. And again, Tommy Dreamer has some experience as a booker, and part of creative. I mean, he did it in ECW. I think he was already doing it when Scott D'Amore was there. So, and Gail Kim and all that. But at the end of the day, I mean, and if they were trying to expand as a brand, that was not the move by firing Scott D'Amore. It's not good. It's not good at all. So we'll see what happens. We'll see. I said it, in 10 months, we will see where they at. Quick news here. Hiroshi Tanahashi says New Japan needs it to make new starts. I want more of our wrestlers to be household names. Now, this came from Fightful Select. Hiroshi Tanahashi discussed his goals for New Japan Pro Wrestling in 2024 and beyond. In December 2023, Hiroshi Tanahashi was appointed as the New Japan Pro Wrestling President and Representative Director. He has already had to deal with some challenges, such as Kazuchika Okada's decision to leave the company. Speaking with Lion White from Inside Ropes, Hiroshi Tanahashi discussed how building new star is a major element in New Japan Pro Wrestling success. He made it clear that he wants more New Japan wrestlers to become household names. He said, this is a star-driven business, and we need to make new star. That goes beyond success in the ring, as well as mainstream awareness and name value is the key to success. I want more of our wrestlers becoming household name. Tanahashi also named expansion in Asia as the main goal he has for New Japan Pro Wrestling in 2024. He noted that New Japan will be putting a lot of effort into expansion in Asia, and that will become an area of major growth in the company. He said, the scale and scope of our event in the United States lately is something we're really happy with, and we want to maintain that. But from this year, New Japan is going to put a lot of effort into our expansion in Asia, and you'll see that become an area of major growth for us, in my opinion. Tanahashi previously discussed his role as New Japan president and whatnot. And New Japan New Beginning support on February 23rd, Tanahashi says to face Matt Riddle. So, I mean, my thoughts on New Japan Pro Wrestling, and, you know, I am a big fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I think New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to go through a slight drought unless guys like Matt Riddle, Mustafa Ali, all these guys go into New Japan and wrestle there. I mean, they got a bunch of young talent. You know what I'm saying? They still got Sho. They still got Yo. Those two guys are young. You still have Taishi, who's still young. You got the Bullet Club War Dogs with David Finlay, Gabriel Kidd, Clark Connors, Alexa Coughlin. What was the other one? Drill Maloney. You got a lot of young guys there that could do stuff. You know what I'm saying? And then you could do other work expansion with other promotions like NOAH and stuff like that. But it's going to be hard because you lost Okada and Will Ospreay, the two main guys in there. And then to top it off, the last 12 years you've been running with, you know, Hiroki Goto, he's already up there in AIDS. Yano, he's up there in AIDS. Minoru Suzuki, he's definitely up there in AIDS. Yoshihashi, and then I think even Hanari right now, he's the one guy that he's a young He's a young wrestler, and he's done very well. But, you know, I think I won't be surprised if he looks elsewhere, you know. But and he could work with New Zealand, because New Zealand has a promotion over there that Balak Fale is over there wrestling with his Rogue Army group that's part of Bullet Club. So, I mean, and then if that's the case, you know, they could do a lot of things with, and put the, I think they could put the banner on Shoma Umino. Shota Umino could be the guy who could carry that. I mean, but it's going to be weird watching these young wrestlers now going at it. You got Ren Narita in there. You still got Evil in there. You still got the Tokyo Pimp in there. You know, Kanemaru. All these guys, they still got a nice little roster. But my point is that, you know, how long they're going to be able to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, you know, you can't think that you're going to be very successful like you've been a couple of years. Remember that now? I forgot that they also lost Tamatanga. Even though they got Hikuleo, you got Phantasmo, but and Tangaloa. Dude, I don't know if Tangaloa is going to stay with New Japan or he's coming with his brother. We don't know the deal with that, but, you know, it's crazy. But we'll see. We'll see. So we'll see what happens that. Also, my last thing is the situation that I read this morning with the Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash was invited by Sting to come to Revolution for his last match. Apparently, Kevin Nash said he would love to, but he can't because his position with WWE. Now, I am tired. I am tired of this nonsense where WWE former wrestlers who can, you know, who are retired already, are still on lockdown with WWE where they can't show up at another promotion. Apparently, I guess the reason that Kevin Nash can't show up because he's probably got a Legends deal. And if you have a Legends deal, you cannot show up at AEW. So, you know, I think he figures if I ask WWE if I could show up at AEW for Sting's last match, they're going to say no. Which, you know, again, it's crazy how, you know, WWE continues to act like they want to work with other companies, right? But when it comes to stuff like this, where, you know, the guy's retired, okay, I understand he got a Legends contract, whatever, but does that Legends contract has to say you cannot show up at the competition? Because let's be realistic, WWE does not, and I'm going to repeat, WWE does not see AEW as competition. That's what they've been saying since 2019. They don't see them as competition. So why are you worrying about Kevin Nash showing some love to one of his friends who, you know, he went up and down the rows in WCW days to just show up for his last match? But just nonsense. This is nonsense. I think it's just nonsense. WWE is never going to change. They're never. For the simple fact, I say that because, you know, they talk about, oh, we want to work with other companies. Yeah, I don't want to work with nobody because y'all still think you're the only wrestling company in the world. You want people to think you're the only wrestling company in the world, but there's plenty of others. AEW is one of them. New Japan is another one. TNA is still sticking around. Ring of Honor, you know, it's owned by AEW. So it's just nonsense. Why we can't allow the guy to show up and show love to another wrestler? It's his last match. But that's WWE for you. That's all I can say. So that is it for me today, guys. Thank you very much for listening to my the Chokeslam Wrestling Report Behind the Curtain series. Let me know what you guys think about this. You can hit me up on Twitter. Follow me on social media. That is Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the Chokeslam Wrestling Report. And let me know what you think of this episode. Again, I had issues with Spotify. Well, they erased all my content in my profile. So I was waiting around to see if they would fix it. They had suspended my account and they brought it back, but none of my 346 episodes on my Chokeslam Wrestling Report audio were in there. But you could still see that audio because I have it also on Apple. So you guys could check that out. So this episode, again, you can follow me on Apple, follow me on Amazon Music, follow me on iHeartRadio, and you'll get to listen to this episode. Also, check out my YouTube channel where I just did a content with Dave Meltzer, the false reporter, giving lies, report their lies about TNA and AEW wrestling. And then why not? So check that episode out. It's a very good episode. Show love. Subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell. Hit that thumbs up. That will help the channel very greatly. And that is it for me today, guys. Thank you very much for listening. And I'll see you guys next week.